So I woke up in the middle of the night because I'm in Singapore and I saw this tweet which said that the Fed cuts rates by 50 basis points for the first time in 4 years. It was at that point that I realized in the middle of the night that this is not a drill and we are about to start the biggest alt season ever. And so when I woke up this morning, the first thing that I did was look at the bubbles and I saw the bubbles looking like this. And then I thought, okay, I've got to tweet about this. And I said, alt season has just started. This is not a drill, guys. Up until now, it's been maybe, maybe not alt season. Maybe it's Bitcoin season, maybe not. But now we're at a point where alt season has just started. I'm going to show you exactly why I believe what my thesis is as to why we have to get into alt and why potentially this time you are running out of time. But you're not too late. You can still get in. And I'll probably show you exactly which tokens you should be getting into. So if you think it's alt season, let's get going, guys. Tell you one thing, it's tough here in Singapore because the time difference is a crazy time difference, right? So like I got home last night at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and at 1 o'clock in the morning the Fed FOMC was at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, should I stay up and watch the FOMC? And I thought, if I stay up and I'm going to be up at 7 o'clock this morning to get back to the token 2049, I would have annihilated myself. So I made a decision to try and get to bed. But you know that like feeling when you can't really sleep and you know the FOMC is happening? So I kind of woke up and I peeped at my phone just after the FOMC meeting, and this is what I saw. And I thought, holy shit. I didn't even bother looking at Bitcoin. The first thing I did was I just went and looked straight at the altcoins, right? And what I saw immediately was I saw all this green in the altcoins, and I thought to myself, I don't even have to look at Bitcoin. I know what's going on here. I know that we're about to start a massive, massive alt season. So I woke up this morning when like when you look at the phone, you actually want to wake up. I looked at the phone, and the first thing that I did was I just took the phone and I tweeted, alt season has absolutely just started. I mean, you can see it's 2:06 a.m., but it's actually 8 o'clock in the morning here. So that's what happened. I'm more convinced than ever that there is an alt season that's happening now. It's not for the same reasons that you think it is. I'm going to show you exactly why, what I think people are missing and why we're actually getting this alt season. So it's going to be a big show today. I wasn't going to bring you a show. I could be out partying with a lot of people, but I thought I've just got to bring you this and show you exactly what I'm seeing. And I think when you see what I'm seeing, then you may come to the same conclusions that I'm coming to. So listen, if you appreciate the fact that we're here and you're new to the channel by any chance, we welcome you to the best community in the world. Man, I met a lot of the banter people at Token 2049. What an awesome community we have globally around the world. Over 1 million people now. So listen, if you're not already subscribed, subscribe. Also, if you appreciate this content while I could be out partying with the likes of Arthur Hayes and Iggy and whatever else, just smash the like button. Let people know that we're here. I'm trying to not do a lot of shows this week. But this is a very, very, very important show. Also, someone says, what about Japan this week? Yeah, we are going to talk about Japan and what could happen tomorrow, because they could actually ruin the party. But let's not talk about Japan first. Let's first go and talk about what's actually happening on the market. So let's jump into what actually happened. This happened. And what this means is that the Fed lowered interest rates for the first time in 4 years. Remember, the last time that they lowered interest rates, or the last time that they lowered interest rates was 4 years ago in 2020. Now, they lowered interest rates by 50 basis points, which is contrary to what everyone was thinking. And when that happened, as I said, it's the first thing that I saw. I didn't even bother looking at Bitcoin. I just went straight to the altcoins. And I just saw this. I mean, Say up 24%. Popcat was up. I saw Sui was up. Beam was up. Celestia was up at like $6.30. By the way, look how amazing the new Bubbles are looking. This is the new Bubbles website. Kudos to the team. But this Bubbles technology is looking absolutely amazing now. Just look how cool it is. But you can see Celestia went to like $6.45. And I knew it was alt season. So I tweeted that. And I didn't even bother looking at the Bitcoin price until I woke up this morning. Looked at the Bitcoin price. It was still at 62,000. I see we're now at 63,000. And I think that this momentum could actually continue. And I'll show you why I think that this momentum actually continue. I think that this is not a drill anymore. I think that up until now, it's been like, oh, are we going to get an alt season? Are we not going to get an alt season? Is Bitcoin going to steal the liquidity? I don't think this is a drill anymore. I'm seeing that right now we could be here. So this was the breakout of the trend in the previous altcoin market, in the previous altcoin season. I mean, it looks very small here because of the big run-up. But I think that if we actually break out of this wedge over here, or out of this trend over here, and we break through it, we could actually be entering this parabolic season over here. So I don't know, I read this tweet from Elio, and I think I share the same sentiment as him. I really think it is time to be bullish as fuck on crypto coins again. And I think when he says crypto coins, I think he means altcoins when he says crypto coins. But Laurie says this is finally it. Let me tell you why I think that this could finally be it. Now, finally it doesn't mean that it's going to go up in a straight line. Let's call it a spade a spade. It's not going to be a straight line. But I do think there is a change in sentiment, and I want to show you the change in sentiment in the markets, and it's not only in the crypto market. So let's look at what actually happened last night and what the fundamentals are behind what I'm actually telling you today. So let's start by looking at it like this. Face value, what we get is we get the Fed cutting rates by 50 basis points for the first time in 4 years. But that's not the whole story, and I'll tell you why that's not the whole story. So they did cut rates for the first time since 2020. The main thing is that 11 of the 12 people in the Fed meeting voted for rates to be cut by 50%, and one person voted for rates to be cut by 25 basis points. So that means that the majority of the Fed people wanted to go aggressive in the rate cuts. And again, that's very, very, very bullish, but it's not that bullish when you look at it historically. And the reason why it's not that bullish when you look at it historically is there's only two other times that the Fed cut interest rates by 50 basis points on the first cut. And those two other times were bad, like really, really, really bad. The first one was 2001, and that was the dot-com bubble. And the reason why the Fed cut aggressively in 2001 was because of a dot-com bubble, because the market started to crash. And the time after that was 2007. 2007 was just before the housing bubble. So this was two bad times, or let's say two times when the economy was having a bad time. This time is different though. And I'll tell you why this time is different. In fact, I'm not even going to tell you why this time is different. I want you to hear it from Powell's point of view. Remember, with the last two rate cuts, the economy wasn't good. 2001 was the dot-com crash. 2007 was the big housing bubble. Look what Powell said about these rate cuts.
I would just say that, you know, the U.S. economy is in a good place, and our decision today is designed to keep it there. More specifically, the economy is growing at a solid pace. Inflation is coming down closer to our 2% objective over time. And the labor market is still in solid shape. So our intention is really to maintain the strength that we currently see in the U.S. economy. And we'll do that by returning rates from their high level, which has really been the purpose of which has been to get inflation under control. We're going to move those down over time to a more normal.
So he says he said it a few times. This is one of the times, but he kept saying the economy is in a good place. This is the first time that the Fed's cutting by 50 basis points when the economy is in a good place. Listen to this.
Just about 2 years now of unemployment under 4%. That hasn't happened in 50 years. So it's a good labor market. And we've seen inflation come down. We've talked about that. So we've got 6 months of good inflation data and an expectation that there's more to come. So this is a good situation. Let's be honest. This is a good economy.
So he mentions this is a good economy. Now, the one thing that we were worried about is we said, why would the Fed cut 50 basis points? That's the question. Why? We were saying that the Fed would cut by 25 basis points. And the big question is, why do you think that the Fed actually went and cut by 50 basis points on the first time around? I want you to listen to this.
We've been very patient about reducing the policy rate. We've waited. Other central banks around the world have cut, many of them, several times. We've waited. And I think that patience has really paid dividends.
So the first thing he says is, we've waited. Now, when a Fed official says, we've waited while everybody else was cutting, what he's actually saying is, he's saying, we don't want to get caught out. We don't want to get left behind. And so you don't want to get left behind like you got left behind with the inflation thing. Now, you remember that the one black mark on Jerome Powell's name is that he took him too long to act. And that's why we got into inflation, or at least that is what the narrative was. And now he doesn't want to be remembered as someone that took too long to act. And so he said, look, we've waited, we were patient, and now listen to what he says.
Continue. Okay.
Multiple questions in there, but so I would say we don't think we're behind. We do not think we think this is timely, but I think you can take this as a sign of our commitment not to get behind. So it's a strong move. Sorry, your other question.
He's saying the reason why we reduced rate by 50 basis points is this is a sign that we don't want to get left behind. That's what he's saying. So they're going to try and do as quickly as possible because they don't want to get left behind. That was the second thing that was amazingly bullish. The third thing for me, and the thing that was the most bullish for me, is that this Fed meeting, there was a dot plot. Now, for those of you who don't know what a dot plot is, each one of these dots represents one Fed official. So there's one Fed official in the meeting. And they vote where they think interest rates are going to be at the end of the year. So the good thing is that what the majority of Fed people who are here, you see all these dots over here, this is the majority, they believe that there's still going to be another two rate cuts of 25 basis points this year. There's only three meetings left this year. There's the one that's coming up in November, and sorry, there's two meetings left this year. One in November and one in December. That's it. That's the last two meetings. And what they are anticipating now is that in these two meetings, we'll get another 50 basis point rate cut. So all in all, what we're seeing is we're seeing that the rate at which the Fed is anticipated to cut, even by the Fed officials themselves, so these are the Fed officials themselves, is now becoming way, way, way more aggressive. That's the first thing that you've got to remember. So you have rate cuts, which are now much, much, much more aggressive than the market actually forecast. That's the first piece of the puzzle that you need to understand. But that's not all. That's not all. So when I say that's not all, you've got global liquidity increasing. You've got potentially big rate cuts much, much, much quicker than they were supposed to be, than they were supposed to happen, right? And then you've got something else. And I'll show you what that something else is, which I think a lot of people aren't actually seeing. So the something else is this chart over here. If you don't know what this chart over here is, it's the chart that shows how much money, cash, is sitting in money market funds. And what you can see about this chart is that this chart here is at an all-time high. There is $6.5 trillion, which is currently sitting in money market funds. Now, what is a money market fund? A money market fund is a fund that earns the interest at the interest rate. So up until now, it was earning interest at about 5% or 5.5% as per the interest rate here. Problem is that if the rate of interest comes down, the people that have been earning 5% and 5.5% on these money market funds were expecting the interest rates to go down slowly. And so what they were going to do is over time, they were going to take their money out of these money market funds and put them into somewhere else, like risk. Because as interest rates come down, you don't want to be holding money in money market funds. Because it's cool to hold money in money market funds when you're earning 5.5%. At 4.5%, it's less interesting. At 3.5%, it's even less interesting. At 2.5%, who the hell wants to be in money market funds, right? And so because we're getting rate cuts at a much faster rate than we actually anticipated, this money is in a rush to go somewhere. And that is what the big thing about yesterday was. The big thing about yesterday, the big thing about the 50 basis points is the fact that we got 50 basis points with the admission that the economy is in a good place. And now people who have been sitting here in the best trade of the century, holding risk-free and getting 5.5% are now realizing that the US actually has to refinance this debt. And so there ain't gonna be no 5.5% anymore. There ain't gonna be 4.5%, there ain't gonna be 3.5%. Shit, rates are gonna be coming down really quickly. We need to take this money out of here and we need to put this money somewhere where it's gonna earn money, where it's gonna earn a return. And where do you get a return? Well, if you want to get a return, you have to be in risk. And so what we're gonna get is we're gonna get huge money flowing very quickly out of money market funds, much quicker than we thought, and into risk. So let's define what risk is. The risk here is, well, first of all, it was the S&P 500. Because if you want to move out of government bonds at 5.5%, rather get into risk early in the rate cycle than late in the rate cycle. So you got to act really quickly. And I think I saw a tweet. Is this tweet over here? It says, general trading principle. Within alt cycles, you should crank up risk when the trend first reverses. It's the same thing within other risk markets, right? When the trend first reverses, when you're seeing that the trends first reverse, and this is, again, this is $6.5 trillion. This is not stupid money. This is a lot of money. It's going to flow out, and it's not, as you can see, that chart hasn't started turning yet. What's going to make a turn? Well, you go to a money market investor and you say, look, buddy, you know you thought the rates were going to decline quite slowly? The rates are going to just decline really, really, really fucking quickly. And so they're going into risk assets, and you can see it. Look at the NASDAQ. Look at this candle in the NASDAQ over here. Look at this candle in the Russell 2000, the candle from yesterday in the Russell 2000. Look at the size of these candles. These are risk. This is the Russell 2000 is the equivalent of meme coins, and the NASDAQ is probably the equivalent of altcoins, right? So the money is moving from the equivalent of meme coins to the equivalent, from the equivalent of Bitcoin to the equivalent of meme coins and altcoins. And it's also happening in Bitcoin. So you can see Bitcoin breached 63. First time we've had anything happened in Bitcoin. Altcoins started having a crazy run led by the meme coins. Why are the meme coins running? Because people are moving far down the risk curve. It's almost like you can imagine the risk curve and you say, okay, hold on a second. If bonds are over here, everybody's moving down the risk curve. So everybody's now moving down the risk curve. Those that were in bonds are moving into stocks. Those that were in Bitcoin are moving into altcoins. Those that were in altcoins are moving into meme coins. Everybody is moving down the risk curve. It's like a shift in the risk curve. And why did the shift come? Because the Fed tricked us. The Fed said, you thought we were going to get 25 bips. You're getting 50. And by the way, you're still getting another 50 before the end of the year. That's what people were thinking about. Now, question. Is this a sure thing? Like, is this definitely going to happen? Okay, all eyes on Japan tomorrow. Okay, so I'll tell you why all eyes on Japan tomorrow. Remember the yen cash and carry trade. Remember that the Japanese people borrowed at zero interest rates and they invested it in the United States at like 5%. Now the rates in the United States are dropping pretty quickly, pretty aggressively. All eyes are on the Bank of Japan tomorrow morning, Japan time. Because if Japan gets interest, if there's any whiff of an interest rate hike in Japan, we're in trouble. But if not, the party and the music go on. Now, I think that there's going to be none of that. Because we saw exactly what happened the last time that happened, the Bank of Japan basically said, look, they've got no more intentions of increasing interest rates. So we have to watch the Japanese CPI, and we need to also watch the Bank of Japan not raising rates on Friday. I think there's a 0% chance that they're raising rates. But that's it. We've got to watch out for it. Because this is like if you're having a party and you're dancing in the party, and then the police come at 2 o'clock in the morning and basically rag the party. So Japan can come and rag our party tomorrow. But in the absence of Japan ragging our party tomorrow, the music is going to fucking continue. I'm telling you, the music's about to get crazy. By the way, I know that a lot of you, did this yesterday. So well done to those that did. You can trade the equivalent of derivatives on gold and on the S&P 500 and on commodities, on Prime XBT. I know a lot of you did because a lot of you were sending me screenshots and stuff like that. If you want to do that, again, there is a link in the description. Again, there's a lot of money to be made now in the NASDAQ, in commodities, in all those other things. You can actually trade those things on Prime XBT. So just go to Prime XBT, sign up with that link. So you get 20% deposit bonuses. You get up to $400 when you deposit $2,000. It's proper money. It's proper money. And you can actually trade NASDAQ and stuff like that, which for me is a great thing because the NASDAQ has been moving quite a lot. So if you haven't signed up already, go and sign up there. But as I said, I think for now, the music continues. And specifically, I think we're very early. And the reason why I think we're very early is because the fear and greed is still quite low. I think that people are still scared. People are still scared. That's what's going on. And so whilst people are between fear and, okay, maybe now neutral, there's still probably the last opportunity to actually buy. Now, I also see that in the background, a lot of work is being done around Bitcoin and around crypto. I don't know if you guys saw, but BlackRock wrote a huge report yesterday on Bitcoin. It's a 9-page report that BlackRock wrote. I read the whole report. I mean, this report, to think that BlackRock wrote this report, is a mindfuck. It's an absolute, absolute mindfuck. They talk about everything that we know about Bitcoin, but we don't think that the fund managers know. So they talk about the performance. They talk about the historic correlation with equities. They talk about the US accelerating debt growth and how Bitcoin, how this is unsustainable and how Bitcoin can hedge you for that. And in conclusion, what they say, I'll see if I can just zoom into the conclusion, says, Bitcoin, while Bitcoin has shown instances of short-term co-movements with equities and other risk assets over longer term, its fundamental drivers are starkly different and in many cases inverted versus most traditional risk investments. As the global investment community grapples with rising geopolitical tensions, concerns over the United States debt and deficits, and increased political instability around the world, Bitcoin may be seen as increasingly unique diversifier against some of these fiscal, monetary, geopolitical risk factors investors face elsewhere in their portfolios. So here's BlackRock telling the world that Bitcoin is the new gold, basically. They're basically saying, look, this is the coolest shit. It's the only thing to... This is what they used to say about gold. If you want to protect yourself against government shenanigans, against all this crap, buy gold. Now they're talking about this in Bitcoin. This is BlackRock. Same time, you had President Trump. He did a Bitcoin transaction. He went to a pub and he bought burgers and he did a Bitcoin transaction. This is where we're at, guys. This is where we're at. Anyway, let's get into the meat and potatoes, which is the altcoins. That's why you're here. You're here for the altcoins. The Bitcoin stuff's cool. The macro stuff's cool. But we're degens and we're here for the altcoins, right? If you're here for the altcoins, let me know. Also, smash the like button. If you haven't smashed the like button, I do see today we've got 5,000 of us here. Let's see if we can make this like the best show we've ever done. So let's go. I'm going to leave it in your hands while I give you some altcoin alpha. So last week, I don't know if you remember this, but I did say it. I said next week we will see. It'll be the biggest announcement space, biggest announcement week that this space has ever seen. I said you have Token 2049 and you have Solana Breakpoint in the same week. I'm expecting massive pumps. I mean, I think you can say, even despite everything else, that tweet was correct. I mean, just look at these pumps in the altcoins. Look at AR's up 17%. Look at Kava. Look at the altcoins. I mean, holy shit! Look what's going on here. So, I think a lot of the altcoins that actually performed were the altcoins on our list. So if you look at the altcoins that performed, we did tell you in front runners to buy Drift at 31 cents. Today, Drift came out with an announcement. Do I have the announcement here for you? Drift Labs announced the completion of a $25 million Series B financing round led by Multicoin, Blockchain Capital, and a whole lot of others. So that's a big announcement from Drift. I think, there we go, Drift is at 72.6 cents. Another one which we called in front runners, by the way, which I don't think has finished running, is Phantom. So 36 cents, I think Phantom today you must have doubled your money if you're part of front runners. Or at least you got to be close to have doubled your money on that. 63, okay, very close to doubling your money on that one. But a lot of these calls on front runners, I mean, there's a whole lot of other calls on front runners. Also, the front runners got to meet us and spend some time with us. There's a big party for them tomorrow. If you want to join front runners, just sign up here, you'll get onto a waiting list. If you get into the waiting, if you get in and you're unhappy within the first month, just tell us to get out and you can leave. No problem. You won't be charged. I mean, you'll get your money back. You won't have an issue. So just do it. I promise you it's the most lucrative Discord community in the world. This is the one. Anyway, so a lot of our calls from last time, actually, a lot of the calls that we spoke about actually ran, right? So like Sui, which we spoke about last week, Sui's been on an absolute, absolute tear. They're making a lot of the big noises here. Partnerships, USDC coming onto Sui, which is exactly what I told you would happen. So Sui started running. I mean, let's just highlight the ones that have started running. So Sui ran, Phantom ran. And there's a reason why I'm highlighting them, because this is going to show you which ones may still run. Immutable X ran. This one ran 72% since we called it. You can see over here, 72%. Up 72%, Crown. I really wish I'd bought more Crown. Super is up 40% since we called it. And the reason why these things, Aerodrome is also did well. Aerodrome is at 80 cents. Look at that, 80 cents on Aerodrome. There's a reason why I'm highlighting this, and you'll see in a second why I'm highlighting this. So Last week, I told you that there's going to be big announcements. This week, I'm telling you that we are about to hit alt season because of the reasons that I've told you. I've shown you the fundamentals behind why we're about to hit alt season. Also, we do know, look at Lenny says, your alpha paid my rent. A lot of people came to me. Someone said to me, he put $600 into two or three of the calls. He got $5,000 now. There's a lot of these stories. That's why I do this. I do this because I want to make you guys rich. That's just why I do this. So at this part of the cycle, usually what we get is we get the altcoins running. This is the part of the cycle where Bitcoin and the alts run for a bit, and then the alts basically takes over, right? So as Ben Cowen says, look, we could go to 59, maybe we'll even go to 60, but that's it. Then we turn around and then it's proper alt season. So if you look at the dominance, it's starting to veer very much away from the trend line, as you can see. Now, usually when something veers very far away from the trend line, it'll start coming back towards the trend line. And hopefully this will be the one that actually brings it down below the trend line over here. And then if we do, then you get this total three breakout, which is this crazy breakout over here. So what is your job here? What is your job? I'll tell you what your job is at the moment. The cycle has actually just turned. So just because you have a green day like this, doesn't mean that this is the beginning and the end of the altcoin run. In fact, what I think after all the red days that we've had so many red days. By the way, I must say, the Bubbles website, every time I look at it, it looks amazing. They've fixed it up. They've cleaned it up. When you open up the Bubbles, you've got all the information on the same bubble. You've got the newsroom over here, which looks absolutely amazing. This thing, they've really done an unbelievable, unbelievable job on this. Look at all the information that you get with one click now. It's absolutely brilliant. But as I was saying, one green day on the Bubbles doesn't change the whole trend. I've got to remind you that RWEB is still at 20 bucks. Even with this pump, RWEB is still at 20 bucks. Can you believe it? So what I think, if you believe this thesis, then the idea is, he says, within altcoin cycles, you should crank up risk when the trend first reverses and begin gradually to protect capital as time passes. So if you believe that this is the case, and I'm not saying that you should believe what I believe. Everybody must have their own beliefs. I believe that this is the case. And so for me, I want to crank up my risk now, and I want to start removing risk later on when this whole thing happens. Now, is it going to be a straight line? No. We still have a US election. We have a presidential election that's happening underway. There's a lot of things that can actually go from here. But the main thing is liquidity. The main thing is that this money over here needs to find a home. And for this money to find a home, everybody needs to move out of their other home to go to a better home. So it's like, think about it like this, right? Everybody moves one home up. The guys that were in meme coins, the guys that were in altcoins moved to meme coins. The guys that were in Bitcoin moved to altcoins. The guys that were in stocks moved to crypto. The guys that were in treasuries moved. Everyone just moves one level up because this teenager has to move in somewhere. Where does this guy go? Where does this money go? And the only way to move is for everybody to move a little bit out of this. So what's your job now? Number one is you should probably crank up risk if you believe that this trend is about to reverse. If you believe. Number two, look for the coins that haven't pumped yet. And there are a lot of very obvious coins that haven't yet started to pump. Look, some of them, as much as I love the coins, I think you've missed it. Like, I think you've missed Sui. Honestly, I think if you're buying Sui now, I think it's a problem. But let me show you something. That's the Aptos chart versus the Sui chart. See, that's Aptos versus Sui. Just look at how these charts are mirror images of one another. I mean, pretty much the same, right? One's pumped, one hasn't. So now, again, if you believe in the Aptos theory, and you believe in the catch-up trade, then what you believe is that this kind of has to break out at some point. Okay, now, again, I'm not telling you should believe or shouldn't believe. I think that you should look at the tokens that haven't yet run. Solana. Solana hasn't had a run. Okay, now, Arweave hasn't really had a run. Rune hasn't really had a run. The best way for me to show you this is to say, look, do you remember the calls that we all made? That remember I said to all the researchers to choose, I think it was 20 tokens. The best way to say this is look for the ones here that you like, but didn't run. Okay. So look at the ones here that you like, but actually haven't had a run. Like this one's had 37% run. I'd probably stay away from that. Crown's had a 72% run. Probably stay away from that. Immutable X hasn't run, 2.8%. You know, if you're bullish, that's probably not a bad place to be. That's probably the best way to look at it. So we'll leave the spreadsheet here for you. And what you can see is you can look at the tokens. You can look at how much they have run. And then you can see which ones of those you like and you want to get into. So that is the first way that I would look at this. I'd almost say, like, you can make your own list and say, look, has it started to run since a certain date? And maybe use the date that we did this show. Research, just remind me, or maybe just put on a spreadsheet which date we did the show, because I think it just makes it easier for people. But you can choose, I mean, whether you follow me or Joe or Chris or Paolo or Kapoor. I don't know who you follow. Follow whoever you want, right? I'm going to say, you can follow whoever you want. You can. But, I mean, I don't want to say it. But, I mean, you know, the data does speak for itself here. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say it. I don't want to be the one to say it. But, I mean, the data does here speak for itself. Choose whoever you want to follow. Now, I mean, this is a long-term game. This is a long-term game. So, I mean, I'm up 2% now, but Kapoor is, like, catching me. Let's look at what Kapoor's Bitcoin, Sol, ETH, Phantom, Arweave. Okay, he chose Pendle. Okay, he's got a lot of very similar ones. He's got Popcat in his portfolio, and Popcat's absolutely exploded. So the idea is to say, what are the tokens that haven't yet run that you like since this date? And the researchers will put the date in. And then you can make a decision as to which ones you should be investing in. I don't think you've missed the whole of alt season. I think this is the beginning. And so, look, I wouldn't buy pumps. So kind of like, I think anything that's done like 55%, even though I do think Phantom's got lots of upside. Mantra has their mainnet coming out in October, which is going to be big. Then you got Drift. I wouldn't be buying Drift. Now, I love Drift, but I wouldn't be buying it now. I bought a whole lot of Celestia. I traded out of ETH and I bought Celestia with that money. Now, again, I think that's probably a good trade. But it's gone up from $4 like 2 days ago. Let's just see where it was a week ago. Just look at this. A week ago, it was at $4. And now it's at $6. It went to $6.50. Like, I don't know if I want to be buying those kind of pumps. So what you're going to do is you're going to take this sheet, these sheets, or you're going to create your own sheet. And you're just going to say, has the thing pumped or hasn't it? Like, Render hasn't pumped yet. Well, you think Render is just going to give this bull market a miss? You know it, and I know it. It's not going to happen, right? So that's the story when it comes to altcoins. Your job very much now is to say, look, if you believe this thesis that the altcoin season is going to come much quicker than expected. Someone says, what about Celestia unlock of tokens? You're right. I think a lot of it may be priced in, which is why I didn't go all in. But I do think that there is value there right now. I think it's 3 or 4 billion, at 4 billion. And I think it's probably a good place to be. People are talking about Tuka Baked. I'm quite bummed that Baked's up 32%. Truth is, I've been looking for an opportunity to buy it. I thought it was going to go under like $2 million market cap and then I could scoop up the whole thing. But every time it does that, people go and buy it up like crazy. So, I mean, for as long as I'm trying to get an entry. If I can't get an entry, then, you know, like, what am I going to do? So I'm waiting to try and get my entry. I really am trying to get an entry into Baked. We need to try and get in. Anyway, a lot of, take the altcoins that haven't run, invest in the altcoins that haven't run. Tanya's still good. Tanya's still good. Remember, you do have the cloud of the court case, but I think for now it's fine. I mean, let's quickly look at the bubbles. I think the bubbles will actually give you an amazing idea. Just go to the weekly and then just look at the weekly. And then look, one thing that you can do on our bubbles that you can't do on any other bubbles is, Hardis, just remove the comments so you can see. So I'm like, right, okay, I'm never, ever, ever going to pop a hex bubble ever again on my show, because the last time I did that, it got meme to hell. But what you can do is you can just click that button over and you can just pop the bubble and just get rid of it. Like, I'm not interested in that bubble. I can just get rid of it, you see? And you can see in the last week, like, the ones I would avoid, as much as I hate saying this, because I love Phantom, but I'd avoid Sui, I'd avoid Celestia now, I'd avoid Tau now, because those guys have had a run. But look at the bubbles that you like here, which are small. And on the weekly, And okay, like here's a perfect example. Naira. Okay, like that's destroying all my bubbles. I'm just gonna pop that bubble. And that's gonna resize all my other bubble. Okay, I'm also not interested in meme coins, so I'm gonna pop baby Doge. And again, that's gonna resize all my other bubbles. And I'm not interested in this one, so I'm gonna and that's gonna so you see. Ah, go away, for God's sake. Okay, so okay, because the bubbles just refreshed there. So what you can see, what you wanna try and do is you wanna try and do it. The other thing which I've noticed is that the VC coins are starting to pump again. Celestia, Dimension, Saga, they're starting to pump again. Those high FTV, low float coins are really, really, really starting to pump again. And I think that is a narrative that we should be looking at. So yeah, that's what I would be doing. The other thing is, in fact, I want to just maybe spend some time talking to you about what I've seen here in Singapore. But just before that, I want to announce something here. So you all know it by now. You all know what Bitfunded is, right? Bitfunded is effectively a platform where you trade with other people's money. Now, how it works is you first put in, you choose which challenge you want to do. And the challenge is a $49 challenge or a $99 challenge or whatever the challenge is, right? So it's a base one, a starter, an intermediate, an advanced, and an expert. Now, what you do is you pay $50. If you get an 8% profit target in stage one and a 5% profit target in stage two, then you're trading with other people's money. So this is for people who think that they're good traders, but don't have a lot of money. So what you do is you pay $50. If you are a good trader and you get 8% in the first stage, 5% in the second stage, on the third stage, you're trading with other people's money and you're keeping 90% of the profits and they're keeping 10% of the profits. Now, I'm starting a challenge next week where if you beat me in a Bitfunder challenge, you get an extra $10,000. So if you beat me, you get an extra $10,000. So there is a link below. You can go and sign up, deposit your $50 or whatever it is. We'll play. Someone says, why is Arweave dumping? I didn't see Arweave dumping. I mean, we can look at it. Let's have a look here. It's not dumping. It's at $20. I mean, I think the whole market dumped. I think now, I think probably Arweave will start pumping. If I just simply look at charts here, if I just simply look at some charts here, that is kind of what I'm seeing. Very simply, very simplistically, not very accurately. That's what I'm seeing. We just need to break out of this $21, and then we're out of the trend again. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. RB for me fundamentally still very, very good. So as I was saying, if you want to join the challenge over here, sign up, and then next week we're going to play. And if you can beat me, you get an extra $10,000. So not only do you get to trade and keep 90% of your profits, but you'll also get extra $10,000. So I want to tell you a little bit about what I've seen in Singapore. So it's been really interesting. Tomorrow is Solana Breakpoint. We're going to Solana Breakpoint. Today we were at Token 2049. It was absolutely huge. The one thing that I can say that I saw, which shocked me, was I watched Iggy on stage. Now, look, I'm not a big fan of Iggy. Like, couldn't give a shit about her. Don't know her, etc. But she's smart. I mean, I listened to some of the stuff that she was talking about and the way she was talking about it.
Funny or and one illustration of something that's transferred over and over again online, and that's not actually what a meme originally was. A meme is a unit of culture. That could be language, that could be playing hopscotch, that could be a catchy song. And yes, now because of the internet, we have this new derivative of it. But I think the interesting thing is to see that now that's been kind of suspended in time, as a meme is only this one thing. A meme is so much more. It always...
She's smart. She's smart and she knows she's a businesswoman of epic proportions. I got to be honest. And it's no wonder that her tokens pumped 20% today, because she is really smart. And I must say, as far as celeb tokens actually go, she could be the real deal. I was completely convinced that she was not the real deal. But seeing the people that she's consulting with and seeing the moves that she's making, she could be the real deal. Now, I don't own a single mother token, just for the record. I don't own a single mother token. I'm not sure that I'm going to. Someone said Darilla. I think Darilla might also be the real deal. But Iggy is, I think, a couple of steps ahead at the moment. She's thinking like a business person. She's thinking like a celebrity who's making a perfume. That's how far ahead she's thinking about the mother brand. Her talk was probably one of the most interesting ones that I heard. I've got to be honest. One of the most interesting talks that I heard. One of the ones where I went, wow, she's actually not really what I expected. Yeah, I also saw one of our other sponsors there. Dop was there. Data Ownership Protocol, the Privacy Protocol, they were there. They had quite a busy day there. I saw I mean, yeah, a lot going on there today. The Token 2049 was absolutely crazy. There were ice baths. There was a paddle court. There was a robot barista that made coffee for you. Like, crazy shit's going on at Token 2049. I will try and move. I'll try and make a show for you guys on Sunday, which will show you exactly what's happening on Token 2049. Okay, I will see you guys again maybe tomorrow. Let's say if something happens tomorrow, I'll be here tomorrow and I'll bring you some crypto love and some crypto wisdom. Otherwise, I'll see you guys Saturday or Sunday. I'll definitely do a show just to keep you guys updated. Until then, chaps, much love and trade well, my friends.